This week on the show, NBA drama getting resolved or just getting started. The big move in basketball this week. The Patriots enter their bye. What's gone right? What's gone wrong through the first 10 weeks of the season? And our very own Alex Lebowitz, he will be rubbing elbows with celebrities. We'll get his take on that. All that and more coming up. Calling It starts right now. Welcome to Calling It, recording on November 15th, about 3 o'clock. I am Alex Barth, as always, joined by Alex Lebowitz. We are powered by CLNS Media, a borderline pre-Thanksgiving show, Mr. Lebowitz. So I guess a happy early Thanksgiving to you, just in case.
Yeah, and you as well. It's the best holiday of the year, bar none. It's really not even close. Although I never did Christmas, but Hanukkah is the same thing, just for Jews. I think Thanksgiving, clearly top holiday. I'm pumped. I'm excited. Everyone's back in town, and you get to drink a lot of beer and eat a lot of food. What's better?
We'll put a pin in that for next week because I think that's a great discussion. I'm taking Thanksgiving personally this year because when I actually just got home, there were three turkeys blocking my parking spot, and they would not move. And I had to get out of my car and chase them down. And they were huge, massive turkeys. So I am taking Thanksgiving personally this year.
Yeah, eat two turkeys. Show them who's boss.
Those were probably 25, 30-pound turkeys. It's on my Twitter, at Real Alex Barth, if you want to see them. Huge, huge birds. But speaking of turkeys, Jimmy Butler, how about that? Like that? Yeah. Butler finally gets traded from Minnesota to the Philadelphia 76ers, who now have, could we say, two of the top five characters in the league between Butler and Embiid?
Yeah. I mean, top 10 if you count Simmons into that. I'm not a big fan of his, and I think
I would almost count Fultz as a character before Simmons, just because his lack of shooting ability becomes so legendary. Then again, Ben Simmons shoot a three, you coward, is also. Yeah. I mean, it's an interesting team. It's an interesting team. Let's start here. I mean, they gave up, you know, some decent pieces to get Butler. At one point, we thought Jimmy Butler might be worth four first-round picks. That's what reportedly Minnesota was offered at one point. Who won this trade?
I think it was kind of a low-risk type of deal for the Sixers, and I think it was a must-do for the Timberwolves. I don't think there's a clear winner. Minnesota had to get rid of Jimmy Butler. There was clear toxicity in that locker room with him a part of it. And they got a decent return with Sarek and Covington. Does it equate to what they gave up? No, but it's going to probably be a benefit in the long run. The Sixers get that star. They get that third player, ideally. I don't know if it's a great move for them. I don't know if Butler, a guy who has already had problems with young players, as we just saw, is going to mesh in a locker room with not only young players, but strong personalities. And Markel Fultz, who you already mentioned, who has some, you know, mental issues, in my opinion. So I don't know if this is going to work out. My gut tells me this is a bad move for the Sixers, and this might derail things.
Yeah, I don't think either team won it, frankly. I know Minnesota had to do it, but they could have done it, you know, 4 months ago and gotten a lot more. And you're spot on with Philly. I don't know how this is going to work with Simmons and Embiid and Butler. I think all of those guys want to be the star, and only one of them can be. And yeah, Jimmy Butler has proven to not always prioritize winning, and I think the Sixers, they were a bit of a sideshow last year. I think that's safe to say. Some of that was not only on the players. I mean, the drop in confetti in the playoffs was ridiculous, but Ben Simmons always has that camera crew following him around, Embiid with all he talks on Twitter, despite never having won anything, and now you bring in Jimmy Butler. I think it's something that could look really good early and then deteriorate quickly. Now, the question is, how quickly does it deteriorate? Can they make a run before that happens? I don't know. But I can't believe that there wasn't another team that was a little more stable that had the same to offer that didn't make the move for Jimmy Butler. Even, you know, a team like the Rockets.
Yeah.
You know, a team like that could absorb what Butler's going to bring to the locker room. And again, maybe I know this is the whole thing, Timberwolves didn't want to trade him in the West, but it's still just a bizarre landing spot for me. In some ways, it makes perfect sense. In some ways, it makes no sense. Sorry, go ahead.
I think Jimmy Butler is the second best player on a championship contending team. And I think he's the second best player on the Philadelphia 76ers. So you check that box off. But he cannot be your top personality. He cannot be the top veteran, the top leader on a championship caliber team. And that's what he's going to have to do in Philadelphia. He's not equipped to be that guy, in my opinion.
And we've seen him try to be that guy. It doesn't work.
It doesn't. He never had any success in Chicago. And they had a lot more talented teams than what we're seeing with Philadelphia and what we just saw with Minnesota. So I just don't think they're equipped to take on this guy at this point. You bring in another guy, a veteran, someone who is actually a good leader, and then you bring in Jimmy Butler. That's a legitimate team that probably is going to be stable. No one has confidence in this unit staying stable, and rightfully so. I think this is going to crash and burn, and I think it's going to happen relatively quick.
All right. How does this affect the Eastern Conference now? That's the question. Obviously, Celtics fans are looking at this, wondering if they're still the best team in the East with their early struggles. NBC Sports Washington posted this ridiculous article about how that trade makes it a tougher path for the Wizards in the East because the Wizards are clearly the favorite in the East. Toronto's been a surprise. I still think the West is the better conference, but I don't necessarily think we're in that stage anymore. It's where essentially the Eastern Conference championship is a battle for second place. I think that whoever comes out of the East now, and I think the Celtics are still a better team. I don't think it's a guarantee anymore that the Celtics come out of the East. I think the team that does, whether it's the Celtics, the Sixers, whoever, will be more battle-tested and will stand a chance against a Warriors team that's going through their own drama, frankly.
Yeah, there's definitely more parity in the Eastern Conference than everyone anticipated. But that comes down to the fact that the Celtics have been underperforming from the start. This deal for the Sixers, I think that keeps them at the number four team in the Eastern Conference. I still put the Celtics, the Raptors, and the Bucks ahead of them. I just don't think that they're well equipped to make a run. You get into the playoffs, you got a guy in Butler who can shoot threes, which you don't have in Fultz or Simmons. But again, late in the game, you get into a tough spot. Will you be mentally equipped enough to really battle back and make it a game to challenge another team like the Celtics late? I don't think so. I don't think this makes them any more of a contender, maybe by a little bit.
I don't know about that. If there's one thing Butler adds, it's mental toughness, I think.
Is that what you call it? I don't call it mental toughness. I think in the right atmosphere, it's mental toughness. But again, if he's your number one personality, he's counterproductive. If he's your number two or number three leader on a legitimate team, then that's when we're talking. Maybe if they did this, you know, somehow 5 years later and he was still good and Embiid was a little bit more mature and Simmons was a little bit more mature, I'd have had more confidence in this. But you got, again, three young guys.
Well, they did extend him, so maybe that's the plan.
Maybe.
They reached an extension with Butler.
So this could be more long-term, and maybe they're not going for immediate success. But when you have a guy who is unstable to an extent, the longer you have him there, the more likely you are to, in my opinion, to have a breakdown, you know, throughout the locker room.
All right, real quick here, because we, as Patriots fans, we never get to do this. You know, when the Patriots lose, the Patriots, you know, something happens nationally, everybody turns and points their fingers and laughs. So we rarely get to do that being on the side of the Patriots. But in the NBA, the Warriors are having their own misfortunes, and I want to take this rare opportunity to point and laugh at the champion, because Draymond Green, who, good player, don't think he's anything special right now, is costing them Kevin Durant, which to me is hilarious, because once Durant leaves, you know, Curry's going to be old. Who knows how much longer Thompson's going to be there? That thing could fall apart real fast. And you're risking that all because you want to keep Draymond Green on your roster? Please.
Yeah, this is – and I think a lot of that comes down to the fact that you have a guy in Kevin Durant who's not committed to the Warriors long term. So if it's keep Draymond Green or get rid of him and maybe slight possibility keep Kevin Durant, which, you know, all indications point to he's not staying, then why would you go with Durant at that point? I think Draymond Green is a bit of an a-hole. I'm not a fan of his, but he is signed long-term to that team. And I don't think you're going to trade him away. And the reality is,
to keep Kevin Durant, don't you have to do whatever?
I do think that that's a team that can fix it. You have Steph Curry, you have Klay Thompson in that locker room, you have Andre Iguodala, you have Steve Kerr, who's a good leader. They're going to try to hash it out. If there's any team in the NBA that can't hash this out, it's the Warriors. And Durant was, I don't think he handled this press conference all that poorly. I think he left the door open for a resolution to be made. And my gut tells me it will be made because no one in that locker room, no one in that organization wants to trade away one of those pieces. It would just be a bad move considering how the gap is kind of tightened a little bit.
All right, I mentioned the Patriots' recent loss. We'll touch on that on the other side and what they need to focus on going forward coming out of the bye. Keep it here. This is Callin' It, powered by CLNS.
Callin' It is brought to you by American Broadcast Coaches, training the next generation of media talent and communicators. For more information, check out AmericanBroadcastCoaches.com.
Welcome back to Callin' It. Not a Victory Monday. Well, first off, because it's Thursday. But remember when we used to do Victory Monday when we did the show every Monday?
Yeah, that was every Monday, yeah.
it was every Monday. It was great. Patriots struggling, though, this past week. They lose to the Titans entering the bye. Just a rough loss. I thought maybe the worst game of Josh McDaniels' career. We don't need to dwell on that too much, though. I want to go more big picture here, just kind of thoughts from the first half of the season. I don't know. Maybe it's me. The Patriots could have a week four bye. And to me, the first half is before the bye and the second half is after the bye. That's just how I look at it. I can't help it.
Yeah, it does work out kind of perfectly. What are we're going on week 11?
It's split, yeah.
Yeah, it's about right.
Second half.
It's good enough.
That's more or less what it was back in the day when they only played 14 games. But I just think the timing of this loss is interesting because now you're going into the bye and suddenly the world's falling apart, right? You have 2 weeks to dwell on this loss and 2 weeks to kind of look at things. And the picture that's being painted of the Patriots in the media, I think, is really affected by that last game. And I, not there's anything wrong with that. The NFL is a what have you done for me recently league. But before we get into the in-depth conversations, it's just kind of funny listening to the radio, listening to people talk this week, kind of how different those conversations might be even if they are still 7-3, let's say, I don't know, they lose that game to the Chiefs and then they beat Kansas City and they've still won 6 of 7 heading into the bye. How different that conversation might look.
Yeah, I think you always have people who are going to freak out no matter what. I saw a tweet from Tommy Curran, and it was a quote tweet from an article, Kevin Clark of The Ringer. And I'm just going to read the quote. And this is related to Brady, but you can relate this to the Patriots because it's pretty much one and the same. If you are the type of person who has declared Brady finished, you are also the person who watches James Bond movies, sees him drink a poison martini, and assumes this is finally it for him. It hasn't happened yet, and it's tiring to keep predicting that it will, end quote. That I think that pretty much captures everything. The Patriots, they had a bad week against a coach who is definitely familiar with him, with the Patriots, that is, not only from his playing days, but from being the DC down in Houston.
Which is being undersold, by the way. Thank you for bringing that up.
Absolutely. So I just think it's a bad game. And you've had a stretch here where Brady hasn't looked as sharp as maybe he has in the past. This bye week's coming at a perfect time. It's at a good point, not only in the middle of the season, but after a game like that. And I think this team needs to kind of regather and reevaluate, especially with guys injured who haven't really been playing a huge role, like Rob Gronkowski. I'm not concerned. I think they'll pick it back up. I think it's more of a fluke than anything, what we saw on Sunday.
The one thing that worried me on Sunday, and this is kind of what I'm going to be looking at going into the second half, is the offensive line got beat. The offensive line got beat bad on Sunday, and this is nothing new with Tom Brady. You go back to early in his career, and he does not handle constant pressure well. The occasional pressure, he can shake it off fine, but when he's getting hit multiple times on the first drive, you know it's going to be a long day for him. That's just kind of always been his biggest issue throughout his career, and It's not something that's very easy to change. It's a mental thing. They got to get better protection. I know that offensive line's banged up. Trent Brown was sick. Shaq Mason's missed time. Marcus Cannon's missed time. And they've looked good up until that point. But I just worry that now there's a blueprint and teams will look at what Tennessee did. Now, not every team has the personnel Tennessee had, but I was less worried with Brady after that game against the Titans. I was less worried about Brady and more worried about the offensive line. The other thing for me, the biggest, I don't know if it's an adjustment because they've done it for the most part, but it needs to be from the most part to every single week. When James White has 10 or more touches, 10 or more touches, double digit touches, the Patriots are 6-1. When he has less than 10 touches, the Patriots are 1-2. So the game plan last week where James White becomes invisible, you got to get rid of that. He needs to be touching the ball more than anybody else on the team. What Julian Edelman was before his injury, right? And he's taken he's still a good player, but he's taken a clear step back. Edelman has, but remember, he would have 12, 13, 14 catches a game because when things went wrong, that's just what Brady, that's where Brady would go with the football. James White needs to assume that role, whether it's by design, whether it's the coaches installing it, whether it's Brady doing it on his own. That's something that needs to happen.
Yeah. I think Josh McDaniels has definitely left a lot to be desired, as he has in the past. But
I'm thrilled if I'm a Colts fan watching his performance for the first 10 weeks. I'm thrilled.
I would be maybe as well, but he also, again, hasn't had much to work with. Rob Gronkowski has been banged up. That offensive line, as you mentioned, has been banged up. Sony Michel has missed a few weeks this season. So there are holes. And not to mention, Chris Hogan has been absolutely garbage this year. Just completely horrendous.
I don't think Hogan's been worse. I think that he's just been exposed.
As what?
Well, think about it. Last year, you had Brandon Cooks. You had Rob Gronkowski healthy for most of the year, right? You had Danny Amendola. He was fourth, fifth on the depth chart, and he was drawing fourth, fifth coverage. And he's a good enough player that he can get open. Now, all of a sudden, he's drawing the opposing team's number two corner. And he's just not a guy that's going to beat that. He'll beat linebackers. He'll beat corners who are third, fourth, fifth on the depth chart. He's not going to beat a top two corner in coverage, at least not at the rate he was beating guys last year. I just think you're seeing Chris Hogan for what he is, and that is an average third or fourth wide receiver.
I still think they have enough depth where he's not going up against that number two corner. And I have to look back at the game.
With Gronk out and Edelman not playing as well, I think that they definitely stepped up their coverage on him. And I thought Josh Gordon coming would fix that, and it did for a little bit, right? He had the big game against Kansas City, Hogan did. But besides that, most of the time the team's number two corner is on him. What teams have done is now that Julian Edelman has lost a step, they don't need to put their top corner on Julian Edelman. He can be handled by a slot corner. You put your top corner on Gordon, and then the second corner – goes on Hogan. There's no Malcolm Mitchell to draw coverage. There's no Danny Amendola to draw coverage. There's no Martellus Bennett to draw coverage. And teams just aren't covering James White with corners, which maybe they'll start doing, and maybe that helps Hogan. But right now it's linebackers, which isn't working, which gets back to my last point. But I'm honestly not – I'm disappointed with Chris Hogan, but I'm hardly surprised.
Yeah, I think you did call it preseason that he'd take a step back this year.
I didn't think it was going to be this big, but
no. Yeah. And everyone else was thinking the opposite because given his success last season, but I think you put it perfectly. When you're not going up against the number one or number two cornerback, your production is going to be a little bit skewed. It's still injuries have been a huge problem. That interior offensive line specifically was horrible this upcoming week. But you know what? As cliche as it is to say, if there's one unit that can clean it up on this Patriots team, it is that offensive line. So I think that they can recover. I think that they can do a decent job moving forward and try to make up for that because it all starts with Brady. If he's feeling pressure, if they're getting to the quarterback, specifically up the middle, then that's when your offensive production just plummets. And we saw that 10 points is unacceptable against that Titans team. But this is a team that adjusts, especially once you get to late November, early December.
And you mentioned those adjustments we've seen at times, and they've been season saving. The Patriots changed their identity in the bye week. This certainly feels like one of the years, at least offensively, where it could happen. What's one big change, either a prediction or something that you want to see the Patriots change? It can be defensively too. you know, when they take the field against the Jets and in the second half.
I just want to see Brady get more people involved. I feel like he's been forcing it to Josh Gordon a lot, and that's not a guy who's really ready to take that workload. Trying to get more people involved, giving Brady time. You mentioned it with James White getting him involved in the pass game more. I think even Sony Michel should get involved in the pass game more. I think
we saw him try to catch the ball at the beginning of the season.
I still send it his way, because if he if he does have any success, you're not going to be dealing with the same pass rush. You're not going to be dealing with the same defensive schemes. You're going to be putting that defense on their toes a little bit.
Right.
So just get more people involved. Brady's his best when he has as many targets as possible, and make sure Rob Gronkowski is healthy. I don't even put him back out there until I think that he's really 100% ready to go. And he just hasn't been the same this year. This could be his last season in an NFL uniform. You need him ready for January, not ready for, you know, week 12 through 17.
So I think that what I wanted, and this is kind of counter to your point, but not that I want to see Josh Gordon get the ball more. I think the volume he's getting at now is about right, but the guy is a supremely talented route runner, and really all they're having him run right now are slants and goes. Not slant and goes, slants and goes. I want to see them get I want to see more creativity out of his route tree. I want to see go, stop, goes, run him to the sideline a little bit. They started running some comebacks with him. Him and Brady aren't quite on the same page, but if they can get on the same page on that, they've used him kind of like they used Brandon Cooks last year. Very talented at one thing, but they've kept him very one-dimensional. I would like to see them kind of open him up and really use him as that true number one wide receiver.
But isn't that his one fault? You talk about this Patriots team, this Patriots offense. There's so many option routes as a wide receiver, especially as the number one wide receiver. Does he have the football IQ to really intake that playbook? Because we know how deep it is. Does he have the football IQ to really flourish to his full potential in this Patriots offense? I don't know if he does. I think the reason they're keeping it simple with him is simply out of necessity.
Yeah, we will see what happens in the second half, and of course we'll be talking about it for the rest of the season. We come back on the other side. We'll have some fun with Alex Lebowitz's job assignment tonight and some other stuff. This is Calling It, powered by CLNS.
Calling It is brought to you by American Broadcast Coaches, training the next generation of media talent and communicators. For more information, check out AmericanBroadcastCoaches.com.
Welcome back to Calling It, powered by CLNS. Not that it matters to anybody. We're recording this a little earlier in the day than we usually do, so if news breaks tonight, that's why. And that's because Alex Lebowitz got a special invite to Oprah Winfrey's diploma ceremony at UMass Lowell.
It's she's speaking. So I think it's one of the chancellors. What's her name? Jackie Maloney is going to be interviewing her. And okay. She's just a special speaker at the Songa Center tonight.
I thought she was getting an honorary degree.
She is getting an honorary degree, but it's more than that. It's like a speech and it's a whole thing. It's like, a full interview. So I was fortunate enough to get a credential through the station I work at, and I'm going to be heading in and I'm going to be intaking what is Oprah Winfrey, one of the most powerful women in the world.
Well, I mean, now her life is complete. She has a degree from UMass Lowell. I'm sure that's what all of this is leading up to. Are you a big Oprah guy?
Yeah, I mean, how can you not be big
I've
Oprah?
I've never like really watched her show. I mean, I know the like online videos. You get a car, you get a car, you get a car. I never
the Tom Cruise one.
I've never actually seen that. I tried looking for it on YouTube a couple weeks ago. I couldn't find it. Like he scrubbed it out.
Well, there's the one. There's the original Tom Cruise freaking out about being in love with who is he in love
Katie
with?
Holmes.
Katie Holmes, and then there's the one that they edited, which was they put lightning bolts on his hands and he's electrocuting Oprah Winfrey, and that one, that is the one you gotta watch. That one's hilarious. And there's like dark music behind it, and Tom Cruise has a maniacal Scientologist laugh.
I've been missing out on some quality Oprah Winfrey content, I guess. Ooh.
She's also responsible for Dr. Phil and Dr. Oz. Both.
I mean, that's not a brag.
She's
responsible for Doc, like directly or like her show.
Her show gave them a platform, and then she eventually.
I did not know that. You are teaching me so much about Oprah Winfrey right now.
Oprah Winfrey, she's the most powerful woman in the world, and to think that she started as a, I think she got fired when she was 29
like a news
years
anchor,
old.
Right?
She was a news anchor, and she got fired when she was 29. She grew up, you know, poor, and she started from the bottom. You got to respect the climb.
Are you going to get a free car tonight?
Oh, I'm in the media, so probably not. If I pay for a ticket, maybe there'd be a car key under my seat. But I don't think she's giving anything away. The only thing being given away is a diploma from UMass Lowell,
which she so desperately needs.
Do you think she cares? Like, do you think there's any part of her that's excited about that type of thing? Like, I mean, you guys don't have to do that. Like, that's probably her reaction. Like, we're gonna pay you to come in.
Super intense person that like. It's like the Bono episode of South Park where have every first place trophy for everything.
Yeah, it's the biggest piece of crap in the world.
I could kind of see her being like that. I think she's had so much success that it's just expected now, right?
I would say that
if she goes to give a speech and doesn't get an honorary diploma, it's a failure just based on everything else she's done.
Yeah, I would say I get that, but I would say that the thing that really sold her on coming was the $500,000 that UMass Lowell probably gave her.
Yes. Again, something that she desperately needs, the UMass Lowell diploma and $500,000.
She doesn't need either of those at all, but she's coming. And
she's like top 10 wealthiest celebrities, right?
She's got to be. She's got the magazine. She has her
TV channel, right?
She has a TV channel, I believe. She's huge. She's still married to Rod Stedman. What's his name? Ron Stedman.
I have no idea.
You got to brush up on your Oprah facts.
Clearly. Let me ask this. What happened to Rachel Ray? Because weren't they kind of like neck and neck for a little bit?
Neck and neck. Rachel Ray isn't even the same stratosphere as Oprah.
Like on Oprah's show or something, there was some connection there. I remember Rachel Ray was a huge deal. She used to be on Triscuit boxes, and then she just disappeared.
No, she didn't. She's on Food Network. She still does her thing. She has a family. Rachel Ray is a sweetheart. Come on.
I like. Oh, yeah. There's a very funny joke in American Dad about Rachel Ray being the worst human being on the planet. Which is, I mean, you can Google it. I won't do the whole thing, but it's just really funny because it's so random. Because
she's not.
If any celebrity chef was the worst person on the planet,
Gordon Ramsay.
No, it's Guy Fieri, hands down.
Guy Fieri.
What the hell is Flavor? Guy Fieri is a lunatic.
Flavor Town is a synonym for heaven.
Guy Fieri is Charlie Sheen if he lived at a barbecue restaurant.
I'm a big Guy Fieri guy. I'm the head of his fan club.
There's something about him. He's got some skeletons. I think Guy Fieri has some skeletons.
The worst. No, here's. The worst person, Bobby Flay, looks like he may have murdered someone. I'm not saying he did, but he looks like he may have. Or is that it's Bobby Flay. Gordon Ramsay probably definitely has, and he's probably open about it.
On the surface is a jerk, but I feel like deep down, like he's a good guy.
Yeah, right? I agree.
He did Master Chef Junior, which is a stupid idea for a show, but they let him around children, so he can't be that bad. Take Master Chef Junior and replace Gordon Ramsay with Guy Fieri, and that is nightmare fuel. No parent.
Fieri is going to be like, this sucks.
No, they're not going to let any, even the crazy showbiz parents would not let their kids around Guy Fieri. Look at
I would let him babysit my kids and I'd pay him to do it.
I'm filing that, Ryan, file that away. We don't need to clip it off, but you know, we can send that to social services in 15 years.
Once I have children. Guy Fieri is awesome.
Babysit your children.
Why would I let him babysit my children? Because he's a great father. He knows how to take care of kids.
Get at us on Twitter at Calling It Podcast. Would you let Guy Fieri around your children, hypothetical or otherwise?
All I'm saying is when Bill Cosby gave up the title.
Oh,
as,
okay.
You're not going to let me finish? Can I finish? When he gave up the title as America's Dad, Guy Fieri swooped in he took it. And he's running with it, my friend.
Oh, man. Guy Fieri is America's dad?
Guy Fieri is America's dad, and he can cook better than the previous guy.
Homer Simpson is America's dad.
No, he's not.
Absolutely. There's a bunch of people who are America's dad before Guy Fieri. Bill Belichick is America's dad.
No, he's not.
100%.
I do not agree with that.
America's coked up uncle that shows up to family events without being invited.
Okay, I can. Okay, maybe we can compromise. He's America's uncle.
I will give you that one. I will. I will give you. How do we get from Oprah to Guy Fieri?
To Bill Cosby. It's funny because when we go into these segments, we're like, we'll just let it go where it goes, and it always ends.
Speaking of convicted criminals, did you see? So I don't play Fortnite. I've called it Frostbite on the show before.
Yep.
Did you see they added NFL uniforms to the game?
I did. I saw that. Yeah.
So now they're upset because people are made Patriots number 81 jerseys, Bills number 32 jerseys, and not that it's in the same category, but it's odd that it's been grouped in the same category in the media. San Francisco 49ers number 7 jerseys, but just to get to the 81 and the 32, like Fortnite's upset. They're wondering if this was a mistake. When you have a first-person shooter and you put in the ability for custom NFL jerseys, there is zero reason to be surprised when 15-year-olds start to play as Aaron Hernandez. I know that people talk about the false outrage culture, the falsest outrage. And to the O.J. Simpson people, you're bringing a knife to a gunfight. Get caught up. If anything, go Carolina Panthers 84 after Patriots 81, if anything.
Yeah, that is that Carruth?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, you're going to obviously have that. It's
outrage.
It's dumb. I think it's funny. I think I'm so – not to make light of horrible crimes.
No, absolutely not. But, like, it was so predictable. You knew it was going to happen before it happened. I'm surprised it took as long as it did.
Yeah, I would have been disappointed if it didn't happen. Someone's got to come up with that. You got to think of that. It's funny. It is funny.
I'm tempted to play because I just want to get into a game. I played once. I came in 13th. I figured that was a good spot to retire on, but I kind of want to play again because I just want to see how many people there are in Aaron Hernandez jerseys.
Here's the thing. You can come in second every time, and you can suck at it. It's all you got to do is hide in Fortnite, and you can come in as top 10. That's the way to go, and then maybe you'll win at the end. but you got to – I mean, if you're going to do that, like now, what are they going to do next? Let you wear prison uniforms? Put glasses on, be Jeffrey Dahmer. Like, what's up with these people?
Put on. I mean, they what they should do is they should have, like, you know, Michael Myers mask. Jason Voorhees. Yeah, Jason Voorhees, Freddy. Like, have those. That would be cool. The NFL, you know, I get it. It's like a major partnership, but you have to restrict what uniforms you're letting the people wear if you don't want a bunch of Aaron Hernandezes running around.
You know, you don't want them killing anyone else, allegedly. It's the last thing you need. It's hard. Are they going to put other athletes on there?
Died an innocent man in the eyes of Massachusetts law.
Yeah, vacated sentence, right?
Are they going to put other what in there?
Like other sports, like I don't know if there's really any other murderers in any other leagues. I don't think there are.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, you would get you could get some funny ones, not necessarily on murder, like. I don't know, in a Tuukka Rask sense, that's instantly hilarious. I think you could come up with some funny ones. I think
it is odd how all the murderers played in the NFL. There's no murderers in other sports.
I see. Now I think the NBA had a couple, like back in the 70s and the 80s.
I think every sport had something in the 70s or the 80s. Most of those athletes were all doing crack or blow.
I want to see this technology applied to other games, right? Give me Le'Veon Bell in Red Dead Redemption 2. Like, give me the ability to play as give me the ability to play as Tim Tebow in GTA. Like,
that'd be great.
What I want.
That'd be hilarious. Or just like movie characters. If they did that, you'd get a lot more people paying for these, buying these games. Just out of curiosity, if anything.
I'd be into it for sure. All right. We're a little over here. Any final thoughts, Mr. Lebowitz?
Not really. If we don't record before next Thanksgiving, have a happy Thanksgiving, everyone. Eat a lot of food, drink a lot of beer, watch a lot of football, and, yeah, enjoy the week. It's the best week of the year coming up. And enjoy the snow tonight while you're listening to this.
First snow, but do not call it a snowstorm. It is 2 inches. It will change to rain. You're not a real New Englander if you think this is a storm. That's fine.
It's more than 2 inches where I'm at. It's about 4 to 7. So,
is it going to change to rain before you wake up?
It is, hopefully.
That's not. It's not. It's a winter storm. It's not a snowstorm.
Okay, I'll give you that. I'll concede that point.
All right. That'll do it for us. Make sure you follow us on Twitter, at Calling It Podcast. Check us out. We're powered by CLNS. You can check them out online at clnsmedia.com. For Alex Lebowitz, I'm Alex Barth. Thanks for listening. Bye.